Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. This time, David James joins me here at the broadcast table to reflect on a number of great men of God who have gone home to be with the Lord. These were Bible scholars who were dispensationalists who taught of the end times which are quickly approaching. David and I will talk about our readiness for that next event that's going to happen in God's calendar of activities, which is the rapture of the church, followed by the tribulation period, and then the second coming of Jesus Christ. David and I will talk more about this prophetic scenario that is found in the Bible in just a moment. You might be interested in my DVD on the book of Revelation. It is a look at the book of Revelation taught from a chronological approach, not a numerical approach, chapters 1 to 22, but indeed how the book of Revelation unfolds chronologically. This would be an excellent way for you to understand how the book of Revelation, from an overall perspective, can be better understood, and it will help you to understand the times in which we are living. Go to my website, prophecytoday.com, go to the Prophecy Bookstore, and make your purchase of my DVD documentary, Revelation, A Chronology. We now bring to these microphones David James. Check your clock. It's that time of the week when David and I get together to have a conversation. Normally, we focus on an issue. Today, we're going to be focusing on personalities. When I talk about personalities, I'm talking about godly men. Now, each of them that we're going to be speaking about have gone to be with the Lord, and they served excellent Christian lives, great examples to many of us who are younger and on the way trying to fill in the gaps which they left when they went into the heavenlies. God knows, but we want to have a conversation. And it really came to our attention when David and I both at the same time got news that Warren Wiersbe had gone to be with the Lord.
He was certainly influential in my life and that of my wife. She attended the Bible Institute in New York with me. We had Wendell Calder as our first teacher back then, and he's been the first teacher at Word of Life for as long as I can remember. And in fact, the students up here in Canada had him for their first teacher. Here we are, almost 35 years later, and one of the books that he had us read for his course on the book of James was one of Warren Wiersbe's books from his B series. There are 50 books in that series. So he's had a tremendous impact. You could almost call him a pastor's pastor because of the influence he's had on so many pastors around the country and certainly around the world, as well as a pastor to not just pastors, but to Bible teachers for actually decades now.
David, go ahead and continue this sentence or two more about Warren Wiersbe and tell everybody that's eavesdropping on our conversation why you think he was so influential and effective as a teacher and a writer.
Sure. Well, he actually came to faith in Christ after hearing Billy Graham preach at an early Youth for Christ rally. So he went on to have an incredible ministry. He served as director of Youth for Christ Literature Division. He was an editor of Campus Life magazine. He also worked with the Slavic Gospel Association, Child Evangelism Fellowship, the National Religious Broadcasters Association, Christian Booksellers Association, as well as Back to the Bible. And in addition to that, during the 60s, he was a pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Covington, Kentucky, just across the Ohio River from Cincinnati in northern Kentucky there. And then in the 1970s, he was the pastor of the historic Moody Memorial Church in Chicago. So he just had a profound impact on so many people. He's actually the author of 150 books, and 50 of those being in the B series, where he has a commentary on every book of the Bible. Let me give you a quote from Warren Wiersbe to give you an idea of why I think he had such an influence on people. He said, "Writing to me is a ministry. I'm not an athlete. I'm not a mechanic. I can't do so many of the things that successful men can do, but I can read and study and think and teach. And this is a beautiful, wonderful gift from God. And all I'm doing is using what he's given to me to teach people and to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think his success was his ability to take the deep things of the Spirit of God, to understand them, put them in simple terms, and then give pastors and other Bible teachers the way to apply those principles. And I think that's one thing that's missing from so much of today's preaching, is not only biblical interpretation, but biblical application as well, and something that the average person in the pew can understand and put into practice in their everyday lives.
Well, you know, everything you just said was applicable for my own life, as I was influenced by Warren Wiersbe myself. Actually, I went away to go to Bible school and to prepare to be a preacher because of Warren Wiersbe. I was the vice president of a broadcasting company in South Georgia when a man named Fred Brown, he was evangelist out of Highland Park Baptist Church and Tennessee Temple University, and he came down. I led the singing for him. Judy and I, my wife and I, had started a Baptist church. We're just preaching and weaning people to Jesus Christ. We had a youth ministry there, and I was wondering if I had gone to Florida State, and I was wondering if I needed to get some Bible training. So Fred Brown said, come on up to Chattanooga and visit me, stay with me. We're going to be in a Bible conference up there. Myself and Warren Wiersbe are going to be the Bible teachers. Well, at that point in time, I'd never heard of Warren Wiersbe. Man, when I got there, I had the opportunity to meet him, sat under his preaching, and he and Fred Brown both just influenced me so much and taught the Word of God. They just could handle the Word of God so effectively. I just felt that that's what God wanted me to do. I later had an opportunity to be with him there at the Calvary Baptist Church there in Kentucky. And, you know, just a powerful man. I remember one of his magazine articles where he would talk about a great giant of the faith, more or less like we're doing on the radio right now, but he did that by writing an article in one of the magazines, and it was just so powerful. Just a great man of God, and I praise the Lord for the impact that he gave me and the opportunity I had to be with him, and I'm sure you could give testimony almost exactly like mine.
That's exactly right. As you said, from his writings and his impact, but whether directly or indirectly, I've been taught by so many who were influenced by him as well.
That is the case with both of us. You know, David, we've lost quite a few of the giants of the faith who were very important dispensationalists, and they have influenced thousands of pastors and Bible teachers and authors around the world. Let's take a moment. Let's talk about three men who had a major impact in both of our lives and our ministries, all who have passed away within the last couple of years. Those men were Rennie Showers, Stan Toussaint, and Dr. Charles Ryrie.
Well, certainly all three of those men had a tremendous impact in my life, as I know they did in yours. Dr. Showers, as we recently discussed, went home to be with the Lord last month. Stan Toussaint back in September of 2017. Dr. Ryrie back in early 2016. And I would even mention one other man, Robert Leitner, who went home to be with the Lord in the fall of last year. And of course, Dr. Showers wrote so many great books, What on Earth is God Doing?, which laid the foundation for this course, God's Plan Through the Ages, that I've taught over 60 times around the world. I use his commentary on Daniel and just so many others that he has written. And of course, his influence in ministry with Friends of Israel was such a tremendous impact on ministry to Jews around the world. Dr. Toussaint, I had him at Dallas Seminary, and then he joined us in Hungary a number of times as one of our guest teachers. He didn't write quite as many books, but he was a very knowledgeable man, very, very humble, and he always had these interesting sayings. He would say that I'm from Hinckley, Minnesota, where the men are men, pansies are flowers, and the girls are a little above average. That always elicited a chuckle. And then when he was dealing with a passage where there was a teaching that he didn't agree with, some would teach, he would say, that bird won't fly and that dog won't hunt. So just a unique man of God. And then, of course, Dr. Ryrie with his book on dispensationalism, his basic theology book, and Balancing the Christian Life. And then, of course, the Ryrie Study Bible. You just can't overstate the impact that these men have had.
that bird won't fly and that dog won't hunt. I just loved that saying when I was having opportunity to be in conferences with Stan Toussaint. Just a great saying of God. All three of those men impacting my life as well. There were three other men, though, who were very important in our lives, either directly or indirectly. That would be Dwight Pentecost, Roy Zuck, I know he is really effective in your life, and Dr. John Walvoort is a dear friend of mine.
Of course, Dr. Pentecost was a longtime professor at Dallas Seminary, and each of these men I have known to one degree or another, some better than others, but the book Things to Come by Dwight Pentecost was a classic, and as I was actually looking and preparing for our discussion, he wrote actually many more books than I was even aware of, just so many, and impacted so many lives. I had him for the book of Romans, and he would open up the book of Romans, and he would just start teaching. He wouldn't have a note in his hand. He just knew the Word of God so well. Roy Zuck was a very dear personal friend, actually even supported our ministry while he was alive and gave us so much time in teaching. He gave us 5 weeks one year teaching in Hungary when Dallas Seminary couldn't even get him for one course, so that was an amazing thing. And then, of course, Dr. Walvoort, the elder statesman, the second president of Dallas Theological Seminary, laid the foundation for bringing dispensationalism from the early men like Chafer, and even going back to Schofield, and then teaching men like Ryrie and teaching men like Pentecost and Dr. Toussaint and Showers. Just an incredible man, humble and very knowledgeable, and we owe a great debt to him.
Yes, and I could echo everything you just said about those three men as well. David, as we close out our discussion for this week, I want to remind our listeners that there are some encouraging signs of a renewed interest in dispensationalism, and that the generation coming up behind us can still find some schools and resources as the mantle for teaching the Word of God is being passed on to them.
That's exactly right. I am very encouraged, probably more so than I have been for some time with regard to dispensationalism. You and I discussed a few weeks ago the new book that came out, What is Dispensationalism, which I co-authored with 26 different authors. We're actually going to be seeing that used as a textbook at Word of Life Philippines. They've already gotten a hold of the book, and so I think it could be a classic, a very important book. I'm an administrator in a Facebook group that is committed to traditional dispensationalism. I participate in another Facebook group like that. I'm a member of the Council on Dispensational Hermeneutics, which started out at Baptist Bible Seminary in Clark Summit. You have schools like Tyndale, Schofield, Chafer, Southern California Seminary, Baptist Bible College, Calvary University. Those are dispensational schools. And then we have the two schools that you and I are connected with, Louisiana Baptist University and, of course, our own School of Prophets. So we are committed to training up the next generation, and I hope among our listeners there are young men who are willing to take up the mantle and move on carrying dispensationalism to the next generation that they might teach others who might teach others also. So it's encouragement, but it's also a challenge.
David, it's our challenge in particular, isn't it, that we find younger men, train them up in the Word of the Lord, understanding how to interpret the Word of God, and then as we may be ushered into the heavenlies before the rapture, realize there's still some who can carry on the teaching of the Word of God. I thought this was a great conversation, David. I'm happy that we're not trying to make these people any different. They were just men made of clay, like David and myself, and you too, my dear friend. But they were students of the Word of God, serious about loving the Lord Jesus Christ and teaching His Word. Thank you for your research on this, David, and drive carefully going back home.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Talk with you next week, Lord willing.
The Apostle Paul told all of us in 1 and 2 Timothy that we must study the Word of God, teach the Word of God, and then look for a crown of righteousness. That's 2 Timothy 4:8. Which states this crown will be given to all of those who look for and love the appearing of Jesus Christ. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.